All right. So you just missed the funniest part of the podcast, people.
Yeah. I love how it tells you that it's being recorded, and it gives you the option. It's like, got it or leave.
Well, I mean, it should. You don't want someone recording shit when you're talking to them without you knowing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good idea to assume that somebody's recording it somewhere. I read that somewhere in some anti-government shit thing when I was a kid.
Yeah. Like,
how can these people believe this crap? I mean, but that is good advice. You know, always assume the cops are listening to your phone.
Yeah. To me, I think conspiracy theories are just like open mics. It's like most of it is psychotic bullshit.
Yeah.
But then you got a couple in there. It's like, all right, so maybe this makes sense.
Yeah. The thing with most of them is the people that are into conspiracy theories wouldn't know what to do with a real fact if they got it. Even if they got like some secret link between, Trump and Putin that no one else knew about, they would probably try to fit it into their theory about like, giant moles underneath Mount David or something.
Yeah.
Instead of just running with it and seeing where the facts actually go.
Well, it's no fun than that.
Yeah, speaking of which, a bunch of Russian guys just moved in down the street from me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they look kind of crispy.
Yeah.
You know, like, might have survived some sort of a burn or accident or something. I don't know, Prigozhin and a few other guys. That was the one guy I caught, his name.
Yeah, he goes by Perry.
Yeah. He said he fell out of a window. Yeah, it was a window of an airplane, apparently.
That's when the times I wish that news would be sarcastic.
Yeah.
Like when they report that, it's like, yeah, we all believe this, right?
Yeah. One guy I saw online, it's like, I didn't believe that the Kremlin was behind this until they denied it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's official. They caused it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was thinking that they did it.
I mean, yeah, who knows? But I don't think we'll ever have the truth.
No, we won't. But I mean, history suggests that, and the data suggests that we know what happened to
them. Yeah.
I mean, coincidence is one thing, but when people keep getting murdered in different ways, it's like, I don't think that's a coincidence that it's all the same people.
Yeah.
So, what have you been up to?
Not a whole lot. It's been really quiet at work, and we did have one show. It's kind of sad. I mean, we were really kicking ass live. And then it's like, oh, man, we don't have a show for like 3 months. So we weren't practicing.
Yeah.
Then we got a call like on Thursday. Hey, you want to play Saturday? Everyone else said no. Okay. we weren't bad, but we were not as good as it was probably our worst show in over a year.
Yeah.
But anyway, we really got to practice for our next show next month.
Yeah. You can't half-ass it, huh?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we've done it before, and we were fine. I mean, we know the songs. We just weren't as tight as we could have been, and made a few dumb rookie mistakes. My amp wasn't loud enough.
Yeah.
Because it sounded loud enough when we were sound-checking, but as soon as we really start playing, Bill really starts hitting the drums a lot harder, and I couldn't hear shit.
Yeah.
And I didn't think to I could have just stopped and said, hey, I need a little more stage volume, and turned it up. Other bands have done it.
I have, like, no shows this weekend, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy about it.
Yeah.
I've been busy since the end of June-ish.
Yeah.
Just like nonstop, like shows and shit every weekend. If it's not my own, then I was doing other spots.
Yeah, no, when a hobby starts, it almost becomes a job. Well, it's no longer a hobby.
Yeah. I mean, I'm preparing for January.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens with that. Well, I mean, we know what's happening. I'll have my severance and stuff. I'm in the process of maybe going to Florida for a month.
Yeah.
In January, because Laura recently she starts Monday. She got a new job.
Yeah.
Pays a lot more. Same company and stuff. Still working remote, but now, like, her remote, it's better freedom for her.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people are doing that there. Someone we know has a remote job from Washington, D.C., so she's getting big city money and living in York.
Yeah.
I even saw a video on that. There's this great migration from New York and New Jersey and California, various other high cost of living places where people have these high tech work from home jobs, and they're moving like into the South because property is so cheap down there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are moving to Pennsylvania from New York.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, we're even thinking of moving in a couple years when we retire.
Yeah.
But if we move at all, it'll probably just be here in Pennsylvania just to a cheaper part. But yeah, we might end up in like Western Maryland or somewhere else entirely.
Yeah.
As I've said before, Maryland is nice because it's gerrymandered in favor of the Democrats.
Yeah.
One of the few states that is.
Yeah, we've been tossing that around about moving. The other thing too, just looking it up, just keeping my house.
Yeah.
I still got Gavin here.
Yeah.
So, I may go that route. Comedy is almost like a job for me with the amount of work that I put into it, like producing shows and things like that.
Yeah.
It keeps me pretty busy. But I'm moving more into ticketed events and things like that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I haven't talked to you since April. So
has it been that long?
Yes. I was trying to wait 3 months, but it turned into 4.
Yeah.
So
So I've been just like crazy. Just crazy busy. So I have like this weekend off and next. Actually, I think I have like 2.5, almost 3 weeks off.
Like, yeah.
Comedy commitments. But then, in September, then it starts picking back up and I'm busy again from like mid September all the way till end of November.
Yeah.
My last show, Purdue show, will be December. I think I only have one show in December. That monthly. So yeah, then it all starts over.
Yeah,
in the new year. Well, January is typically not too busy, but then in October I'm going back to Texas again.
Yeah,
to perform. And so yeah.
Yeah, we got 3 more shows coming up this year. And we're supposed to go into the studio to record a few songs.
Yeah. When are you doing that?
I don't know exactly yet. We haven't even picked a studio. We're probably just... There's so many people that have little studios around here.
Yeah.
So other bands are like, oh yeah, record with my place. I love recording other bands. It gives me, justification to my spouse for having all this... All this recording gear.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Sometimes you got to justify it.
Yeah.
like this, yeah, it's like this past week, they had the Mexicans come to our work so we can meet our replacements in person, I guess.
Yeah.
And so that was interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's not them. Like, I get it, you know, they're in their country, whatever. You know, they want a job. And
yeah.
And these Irish American corporations. Well, I got to say, though, I just don't work for a corporation. I work for a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
Yeah. And what is it they're doing?
They're outsourcing my job. Like, I do all the purchasing for maintenance.
Yeah.
And, like, goods and services. And there's another guy who does all the purchasing for the rest of the plant. And so that could be anything from sometimes a little service or, like, uniforms and shit like that.
Yeah.
But I only have to worry about maintenance, which is nice. So they're outsourcing our jobs to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So that way they don't have to pay health insurance and all that shit.
Yeah.
And then eventually those people in Mexico will lose their jobs because of AI, automation, just general.
Yeah.
Like, they're talking about shit in my job where they're going to automate it, which would be very interesting for them. I don't care. I'll be gone. It's like, all right, sure. Go ahead. Do what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like anything. It's like now, because of the pandemic and stuff, it just motivated companies more to speed up automation.
Yeah.
And now everybody wants to have, you know, minimal people anywhere, so that way they don't have to pay them benefits and all that. They just want skeleton crews to run everything.
Yeah.
That's the master plan, the way I see it. Because you can just see just how things are falling in place. It's like, oh, all right, this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, in a few years when millions of people are out of jobs with automation and things like that, at least they're still trying to get coal miners to back away.
Yeah.
Isn't that some bullshit? How does no one even laugh at that as a person when you see the dildos running for president and, like, we gotta get coal miners back to work? Really?
Yeah.
You just want to say that you understand there's machines that do most of the coal mining.
Yeah.
And no one I know, and probably you know, is not lining up saying, you know what, I have always wanted to be a coal miner.
Yeah. Thing is, it was a job that anyone could do, and you could make, like, shitloads of money because it was such a dangerous job. Very few people wanted to do it. But you would I saw where people, like, in the 70s were making like $50,000 a year. That'd be around 200,000 in today's money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good money.
Yeah, that's seriously, especially where they live, where the cost of living was so low.
But did you have coal? You had coal miners in your family, didn't you?
Not really.
Okay. I thought maybe since you're from, you know, West Virginia.
No. I mean, a few cousins or relatives worked there off and on, but it was not steady work at any point during my lifetime.
Gotcha. Talk about a job that no one's asking for or wants.
Yeah. People just want to go back to the good old days without realizing that they weren't good.
And you can never go back because nothing is ever that good. As you remember it.
Yeah. I mean, that is part of the master plan. I mean, like Red Green said, if you didn't remember things as being better than they were, no one would ever have more than one kid, get remarried, or cheer for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've politicians.
Oh, I can hear you over there dying. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Everyone finds that the funniest joke ever.
Oh, no, I mean, I applaud you for completely sticking.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm really good when I steal other people's humor. I mean, I didn't even laugh at it. Yeah, but I keep trying to not go back. I was looking to buy a third car, and I saw somebody selling like a low mileage supercharged Buick, just like the one I used to have, real cheap.
Yeah,
it was like walking distance from my house. I didn't even go look at it. So I ended up, I don't want to go backwards. Yeah. And the car looked well maintained. It probably would have lasted me probably the rest of my life. Instead, I bought a Lexus. Yeah, so we can talk about that. Yeah, I've been joking about it at punk rock shows. I'm so punk rock, I have to get the golf clubs out of my Lexus. I wanted something that was quieter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is a hybrid. It doesn't actually get that good of gas mileage.
Gets you from point A to point B.
I didn't hear that.
So it gets you from point A to point B.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's 10 years old, and I paid almost as much for it as I paid for that new Hyundai that I bought.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, sure, I paid less than half of what it cost new. But, yeah, I wanted something that would last. I didn't want to just buy a cheap piece of crap and run it into the ground.
Yeah.
Because we already have Michelle's car, which is old and high miles. And it's a fine car. And hell, as little as we drive it, it'll probably last us, you know, at least until she retires.
Yeah.
Even working in the office, she's only putting like 3,000 miles a year on it.
Yeah.
And she's going to go back to working from home 3 days a week. So. Yeah. Probably going to cut it in half.
Get back to work. Yeah, unfortunately, I still got to go into the fucking building.
Yeah. What are you going to do when they replace you?
I don't know. I'll have like full pay benefits for almost a year.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I've sort of been looking, but then, I may be able to do some stuff comedy wise.
Yeah.
More on the, producing end and things like that.
Yeah.
Because going in as a stand up and making money, it's possible. It's just a tough hill to climb.
Yeah.
And, I've been doing that partly. It's part of it. And then, I work pretty good at it. And, I'm pretty good now at it. It's not, horrific now when I perform things like that. But, I got some stuff going on. And, there's another comic I've been doing some booking stuff for him.
Yeah.
Management and stuff. And so, that's possibly going to lead to something for me. So we'll see. I may try and do that. I've also been thinking about, been looking around for event director jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I'd actually be really good at that. And I don't want to go back to doing anything now if I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I need to change it up.
It's kind of a golden opportunity staring you in the face with Laura having a good job and you getting paid to do nothing for a year.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I'm going to take advantage of it. That's why I'm working on going to Florida for a month. We have some friends down there, and I have some family down there. Florida does as well. So I'm going to go to Jacksonville, Orlando, maybe to Miami, Tampa. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes. Like, I was just in Texas a few weeks ago in Austin. And that was pretty wild. A lot of horrific comedy.
But yeah.
A lot of bad comedy. Their scene's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Just an influx of like these new comics and stuff. And, you know, they all have a lot of them all have the same beats. Like Joe Rogan. And it's just like Joe Rogan, trans, and then retard. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of... That's pretty much it. So it can be pretty rough, some of that open mic shit. But yeah. I did shows with things while I was down there, and the shows were great. It's just the mic scene was rough.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of speaking of which, I went to this, there's this guy who had a website. The guy from Austin, Texas, right? Yeah. And anyway, his website just kind of disappeared out of the blue. And it's not even on the Wayback Machine. It's just gone.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn it. I mean, like, what an asshole to just, you know, he was talking about maybe just deleting his site. You know? I'm like, why would you do something like that? I mean, like I said, what an asshole. And then anyway, I kind of knew his real name because I had conversed with him, like, through email. I looked it up. You know what I found? An obituary. What a dick.
Yeah, I figured something like that happened. I was waiting for it. Like, this guy died.
Yeah.
Yeah, how inconsiderate.
I know. He probably should have at least had, like, some sort of, at least allowed the Wayback Machine to archive it.
Yeah.
Of course, I probably don't have that turned on my side either. Because who cares?
I have to say, though, I'm enjoying posting on Scott Perry's page, Facebook page.
Yeah.
And his Twitter. The people... I've done such a good job. The people on there despise me.
Yeah.
And they no longer will even leave comments or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't get on there and like, fuck you, blah, blah, blah. You know, I truly just ridicule him.
Yeah.
And I drive it always back to him. And will I say some of my comments are written where they're extremely mean?
Yeah.
And not vulgar? Yes, I do that a lot. And it's, you know, it's helped me. It's actually helped me become a better writer.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's one thing to just insult somebody. That's okay. That's, you know, front facing, insulting somebody. That's easy to do. But to use, you know, the reality and facts and to use in your ridicule where you can't really even dispute it or refute it, it's beautiful. And I've created a narrative within all those threads. I've created this narrative how he gives himself over to elderly men.
Yeah.
That's all I say. Like, when you, like, give yourself over to elderly men. Or, like, recently, I asked them, say, what is it like being a sock puppet for the NRA and elderly men? But, yeah, it's just so beautiful because no one responds to me anymore.
Yeah.
And I even changed his behavior. Because, like, a while ago, you know, he'd always put post up, you know, like, honorable, like, commitment, and sacrifice, you know, all the typical like military keywords. So I used all those against him. And now his post no longer references any of that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But you could also ask him, you know, why is your district split the city of York in half?
And I ask him everything. I'm like, when will you post the list of York County judges that accept gifts? Or is that only for Supreme Court judges?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that gets people angry.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing, I mean, how can he represent half of York City?
Yeah.
I mean, they're fucking egregious with the gerrymandering. So we have like Harrisburg City, which is like 90% Democrat. And then we have all these districts like the one I live in that is 55% Republican.
Yeah.
You know, because if they divided it up fairly, they would all be, you know, probably end up being about 60% Democrat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, the only reason that Republicans even still have a chance to win is because of the Electoral College.
Yeah.
Because their policies aren't great. They really don't have anything.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the Democrats are like hitting it out of the park either. I mean, they got their fucking problems too.
The Democrats is everyone that isn't a Republican. You know? So there's 45 million registered Democrats, 40 million registered independents, 35 million registered Republicans.
Yeah.
Nationally. And most independents vote Democrat the majority of the time.
Yeah.
So and
now, the whole thing is just crazy. I mean, most people, Republicans and Democrats, they want legal weed.
Mm-hmm.
People want access to abortion. Republicans and Democrats. It's like, what the fuck's going on? And like this, the racist shit that they're trying to pull is like, are we going back to the 50s? What's going on?
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense considering people are even more integrated now than they were in 1950.
Yeah. Because that's what they have to please their base. You know? The thing is, maybe 60% of Republicans overall are opposed to it, but those are the Republicans that are only like fair weather Republicans.
Yeah.
The hardcore Republicans always, you know, they want to ban all abortion.
Well, you do have your hardcores, but then I think you have people like my family on my mom's side where, you know, they're a bunch of sad whites and they, you know, they love saying the N-word with a hard R.
Yeah.
And when you talk to them, it's like, yeah, you're just like everything you're saying is just really just comes from ignorance. And it is just ignorance for them. And it's easy.
Yeah. When you understand that my family in West Virginia is less racist than most of the people around here, even the ones that are conservative.
Yeah. There's a, I gotta finish reading this, I think, but there's a book called Everybody Lies. And it's pretty damn good because the guy, like, got access to Google's search data.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, really went in and, like, certain areas that, like, you know, when, you know, Obama was running, like, most of the racist shit was coming from the Northeast and not the South.
Yeah.
Where most people would think. And so it's a great book of just examining, like,
what people
tell you and, you know, to your face versus when they get behind a keyboard.
Yeah. The thing is, like, especially like Bob Mould said, growing up, once you, New York State is, once you get out of the cities, it's extremely conservative.
Yeah.
And also the fact that in the South, you see a lot of hard racism. Up here, you see a lot of soft racism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's we like subtle racism up here.
Yeah. I even saw someone who said that as bad as racism is in the South, a black man is actually better off in the South because there's just more black people and they're a very tight-knit community. And so if you wanted to be a black man running a landscaping business in New England, you'll do okay. But you go in the South, all the rich black people are going to hire you.
Yeah, I don't know about your, because I don't know how to be.
There are some, there's black doctors, there's, you know.
Well, no, I mean, like, choosing to live someplace, like, I don't know if I completely agree with that.
Well, like he says, you don't even have to go outside the black community.
Yeah.
I mean, there's entire cities that are basically black.
Yeah, it's still not a And I'm not moving. I don't think anyone wants to move to Mississippi.
Yeah. I think Louisiana, yeah, they actually, the documentary, or mini YouTube documentary I watched, said the three states people are moving out of most compared to their population is New York, California, and Louisiana. But New York and California because the taxes are too high. Louisiana because it's a shithole.
Yeah.
Anyone that has any money at all is leaving. It's surprising that anyone has any money that's left.
And the Southwest, they're running out of water.
Yeah. And it's weird because they had, you know, 10 years of drought. Now this year they've had like floods and it's refilled most of the reservoirs. Yeah. So it'll be good for another 10 years. But then eventually it's going to be 11 years, then 12, then 20 years between floods.
Yeah, there's like right now, way water is working out there. It's kind of bizarre. But then there's like, I think in the 2.5 years or something, like water rights or something comes up again for the Colorado River.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be not great.
It hasn't reached the sea in decades. Yeah. What little bit we leave for Mexico, they suck off for irrigation down there.
Yeah. And day I flew into Austin, it was like 108 that day.
Yeah, I saw... What was I thinking? I don't remember. I saw something. It was interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just trying to get through this job that I have to stay at.
Yeah.
That's the worst part of it right now. Just happening to be there.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've been training those people, and so, like, you know, they're doing some of my job now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of nice, but I don't have to do it. But then at the same time, it's like, thanks for some long days sometimes. No.
Yeah. I know I had, where I work, there were two of us in the library, two librarians.
Yeah.
And for a while there, we really didn't have enough work for two people. In fact, sometimes we didn't even have enough work for one.
Yeah.
But that kind of took care of itself. The other librarian died. Yeah. Smoking is bad. Even if you quit smoking when you turn 50, you still might not live to be 65.
Yeah, especially if you're a heavy smoker.
Yeah. Saying like how it's like joking with his doctor, maybe I shouldn't have quit smoking. It's like, no, you'd already be dead. Also the fact that since he had quit smoking, he lived for a couple years.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like my Uncle Sam that quit smoking after he got the cancer diagnosis. mean, at that point, it probably didn't even make a day's difference.
Yeah.
You know, you might as well have smoked in the oxygen tent.
that's crazy when I see someone smoking and they have the oxygen bottle.
Yeah.
Like, way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, smoking, it's not so much, it shortens your life, but not actually by all that much. What it does is it reduces the quality of life when you get older. Yeah, I mean, my Uncle Jimmy had to have an oxygen bottle for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Sure, he lived to be 68, probably only would have lived to be 75 without it, but without smoking.
Yeah.
But even so, first of all, you'd be glad to get those 6 or 7 years. And secondly, he wouldn't have had to have an oxygen bottle everywhere he went for 10 years of his life.
That's why I only smoke cigars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, cigarettes, they don't even get you high, for Christ's sakes.
No, they don't.
You know, they just give you a buzz. Just get a light beer.
It's amazing that smoking sort of has come back. At least that's what people say. But I don't know if I've really noticed more people smoking. I know it's just more fucking expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, pack-wise, it's crazy. That's really, for me, like, I just wouldn't start smoking, really, just because how fucking expensive it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I like something, I want to enjoy it, but then if I'm paying, like, if, you know, let's be generous and say 2 packs a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you can get cheaper, and let's say the average price is, let's make it 20.
Uh-huh.
So that's $40 a week. That's $160 a month that you're just spending on smokes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot just for nothing, really.
Yeah.
Then I think I'd go crazy, too. Like, if you don't finish one, or you start, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, you start getting people to, you know, growing their own and rolling their own.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think I want to become a guy that rolls his own cigarettes.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a hobby that I want to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a hobby, or is it considered a pleasure? I guess it could only really be a hobby if you're enthralled by it. Like, every time you smoke, I gotta wear my Joe Camel shirt.
Yeah.
I miss Joe Camel, don't you? That's the one thing I do miss about, you know, you got to get into cigarette manufacturers. They had great marketing.
Yeah.
Like, from the Marvel Man to Joe Cool Camel.
Mm-hmm.
I did, as a kid, I loved Joe Camel. Like, that guy, that cartoon character seems to have something going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like all the other cartoon characters. This camel's out there having fun, the ladies smoking.
Yeah.
What more do you want from your mascot? You don't see Mickey Mouse out there doing that shit.
I know. They had, when they stopped the Joe Camel stuff, one of my uncles ended up with a whole bunch of stuff. It's like, oh yeah, we're not going to sell this anymore. So he took a bunch of it.
Yeah.
He got it from some cousin who got it from somebody. I guess he was thinking it'd be worth money, and maybe it would have been, you know, if he actually would have stored it properly.
Yeah.
But somewhere around here, I probably still got some Camel dollars, a Joe Camel tumbler that he gave me.
Yeah. I literally bought 2 packs of Camels because I wanted that t-shirt.
Yeah.
As a kid. I was like, oh my God, I'm buying, because I love this shirt.
Yeah.
And I gave the cigarettes away.
That's the thing. They should have just, you know, Joe Camel, they just could have gotten rid of the cigarettes and just made him a spokesman for laundry detergent.
Yeah. He should come back, honestly.
Yeah. No, for Viagra.
Yeah.
It's hump day.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's a good idea. It's perfect. It works. you know, he wouldn't smoke anymore. He'd probably vape and be like, hey, yeah, two cool camel here. Get laid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I miss you, camel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to Pittsburgh next weekend. By the time I upload this, we'll probably be back from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to meet me in Pittsburgh, tough. Yeah, they don't even know how to spell their city's name out there. We were originally going to go to, I don't know, somewhere else, but there's this Mensa thing out there. It's like, ah, what the hell? Yeah. We know some people. We had fun last year.
Yeah.
Especially during the zoo segment. The guy was walking around with different animals under his arm, showing off the lizards and things. You know where this is going, right?
Yeah.
I handed him sea turtle. So he's standing up there with talking about sea turtles. Oh, God. And the guy looked just like Shaggy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Maynard Krebs. Yeah, one thing I've written down is, was your favorite movie franchises ever actually all that good? You know, like Star Wars, we remember how great it was and then how bad the prequels were.
Yeah.
Were the originals actually all that good?
The original Star Wars, yes.
Because a lot of people, like millennials, are like, they really weren't any better than the prequels.
Well, I think in the, just overall.
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah, the story is, you know, nothing too crazy, but I think for the original, it works. And the original, too, holds just from, like, a technology or technological standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of sets a standard for, you know, what something like good effects wise should look like.
Yeah. But I'm kind of like we were talking about earlier, remembering things is better than they were. I sometimes kind of think that's going on, specifically with the Indiana Jones.
Maybe with Indiana Jones, like with Star
Wars. Yeah, because there's two good movies there.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Yeah. If you take out all the bad scenes from the three movies, you've got enough for like two good movies.
Yeah.
It's like, right. I think we're all in love with the character. We forget that the movies were only, they were good.
Well, like the first one, that is actually a pretty solid movie. Cause that,
yeah,
that movie plays more like an older action movie from yeah. that time period.
Like the serial from the 30s, which is why it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's why it was aping.
Yeah. So like that one, and like the story is pretty good. I mean, overall, the story is pretty solid. It's pretty cool. You know, you're going to look for this arc, and then you got your, you know, they got Nazis.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a pretty good story. That movie can hold up.
Yeah.
The second one,
Well, the thing is, it was kind of kiddie, but I was the right age for it. So I really liked it.
Yeah. And that one's okay. And like the third one, the last group, that one's actually a pretty good movie too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. Then like going in after that, the other sequels, yeah, that's when you need to say, all right, we don't need this.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard people saying like the last one was kind of an apology for the fourth one.
Yeah.
And other people are saying now that the fourth one, it's not, in retrospect, it wasn't a bad movie. It just wasn't the movie that people wanted.
Yeah. But at the same time, what can you do? I mean,
yeah.
For Christ's sake, Harrison Ford is 80 years old.
Yeah.
And you can use all that de-aging technology and stuff, but he's still 80. And there are things that you do remember that you, especially movies, when you think certain movies are good at the time, then when you go back and watch them, you know, horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Because because, yeah, a lot of that shit doesn't hold up.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it doesn't hold up, but sometimes, you know, because of nostalgia, it's hard to give it it's hard to judge it properly because it is tied up with your own memories.
I don't know. When it comes to nostalgia and certain movies, there might be a couple that I have, but like if it doesn't hold up, I won't watch it again.
Yeah.
Or if I've gone to try it, it's like, this does not hold up. You see that a lot with movies that were made in probably like starting the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Maybe even late 90s when, CGI and stuff was starting to be incorporated.
Yeah.
And how bad some of the technology was at the time.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of got you by. And like some of those movies just feel like Atari covers to me, where the Atari covers look so fabulous, and the art, you know, it painted that picture like, oh, yeah, this is great. You know, then you look at the game, you're like, ugh. You're like, this is not, you know, your imagination only holds up so much.
Yeah. And to me, I, of course, at the time, I never thought of it like that. It wasn't until later when, you know, you had the Nintendo, which was so much better graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the fact that most of my games were used.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I never even had the box. I would only see like a tiny little thing on the, they would repeat it on the front of the cartridge, but you know.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, we had the Coleco. It usually just had the name of the game.
Yeah. And like old movie posters and stuff. Like some of those are like, those are, some of them are just absolutely like art.
Yeah.
Because they're just beautiful because, you know, they were actually drawn or painted by a person.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, you know, Adobe putting shit together.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate that stuff, but a lot of stuff really doesn't hold up. It takes a lot, I think, for a movie to hold up.
Yeah.
Some movies are just timeless, and then some movies fit their time period.
Yeah.
Because there are movies like when I just have the TV on and it has like that fucking internet channels. And sometimes I'll put it on the 80s movies because I'm just kind of curious because they don't really show like popular 80s movies on there.
Yeah.
They show like these really oddball ones.
Yeah. And
I find it fascinating. And even like some of the 90s stuff, because that, like looking back at it, it's like, oh, this is like a snapshot of this period of time.
Then
you watch these movies, you're like, who the fuck was this movie even for?
Yeah.
That's what confuses me sometimes. Who thought this was good?
Yeah. My experience is more with the music and how, looking back on a lot of things, the production and just the sounds of certain bands, like from the 60s, it sounds so ancient. And then another recording like The Doors, if you replace this organ with a synthesizer, it could have been recorded in 85.
Yeah, especially production on older songs and just the overall volume on a song.
Yeah.
That's always kind of funny.
Yeah.
When you play something like it out in public or something, and you know, you play something now, super loud, blah blah blah.
Yeah. And a lot of the really the pop oldies were really loud.
Yeah.
It was when you started getting more into albums and things, they started actually working on good sound quality.
Yeah.
But the stuff that was meant to be played on AM radio or on a jukebox was always heavily compressed.
Yeah.
It's just that they didn't have the digital compression like we do now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like the list of the most compressed top 40 songs ever. Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones was pretty close to the top.
Yeah.
And All the Way by the Raspberries is close to the top. Songs from the early 60s and early 70s.
I love like some of that, the like Wilson Pickett and Otis Redding songs.
Yeah.
From that era, because just the way they're recorded, and just you can just hear how loud it was in the studio.
Yeah.
When they were recording, like when the horns are just fucking distorting the mics.
Yeah.
Because it's like, God damn. But it's great because it's like, this was all done by people.
Yeah.
And just to hear, you know, guys in a room like that, or who the musicians play, and where it's just raw and sounds like that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's like you can just feel the excitement through the recording. It's like they were fucking, you know, grooving on that track.
Yeah. And I read one thing I didn't know today is that, you think Elvis, he wasn't, he was just a singer, right? Well, no, he was a producer. He produced most of his stuff, at least his early stuff. So he was the guy, he arranged the song. People would just, you know, they sent him like a demo or something, and he would take the song and speed it up or slow it down. And, you know, it's like, okay, you come in here, then you do this for so many bars, and then I'm going to do this. And he was working with the engineer on how to get the guitar sound right.
Yeah.
And he was there and he mixed everything.
Yes.
So I never knew any of that.
Yeah.
I always just thought he was just a singer. But no, that sound, that Elvis sound, that was Elvis, apparently.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, like, what his career would have been like if Tom Parker wasn't there.
Yeah. I mean, he needed somebody behind the scenes to take care of the details, but just what if it would have been somebody benign?
Yeah.
rather than someone out to exploit him.
Yeah.
And Elvis did pretty good out of the deal. I mean, he made millions.
Yeah.
Just that Tom Parker made 10 times as much.
And he never went to Europe either.
Yeah.
Weird fucking times. I mean, fuck. Like Judy Garland was practically, she was owned by the movie studio.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like the stuff that was done to her and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder she was fucking crazy.
Yeah. And I was reading about the, was it Aaron Carter, the Backstreet Boys brother, and how his life was so fucked up.
Yeah. It's easy to do in a situation like that.
Yeah. There's so much money flowing around.
And money, and no one's going to tell you no.
Yeah.
And what you need someone to. You need someone to step in and be like, all right, take it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why I like certain people, you know, that's how certain relationships work so well. Maybe one person is a little more of an extrovert. They can talk to people. And maybe the other person's a little more shy.
Yeah.
But like a relationship... That can work because, like, the extrovert can, you know, teach the shy person, hey, you know, it's okay to meet somebody or say hi or do something. Then, like, the shy person could be on the other end to pull back the extrovert sometimes when they're, like, are getting too wild.
Yeah, I need someone to break the ice.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of will if I really want to, but...
Yeah.
And I have a cat sticking her butt in my face. And she's probably going to start trying to sleep on the keyboard. You can only do that when it's off, kitty.
Yeah, I'm like, since I've started comedy, it's been good for me, like, people-wise. Because, like, I can easily break the ice now. I talk to strangers. I have to talk to strangers.
Yeah.
If you do barking off the street and stuff, it's a good skill to have.
Yeah. I'm good, but after a show, I've noticed I have like maybe 15 minutes, half an hour, and then I crash.
Yeah.
And then I need to leave now.
Yeah, see, comedies. Oh, go ahead.
One thing I noticed about, I was thinking of this in the shower today, how for me being on stage, it's almost like watching a horror movie. I think it's the same kind of rush. I could go up there and scare the shit out of myself in a safe environment. Just say the most embarrassing things, tell really stupid jokes.
When I'm on for comedy, like getting off stage and stuff, you have a good set, or just doing it, my adrenaline is high and stuff like that. It takes me a bit to come down.
Yeah, like I said, it takes me a bit to come down, but when I do, I crash.
Yeah. But then the difference, like the hang afterwards, too, it's like important.
Yeah.
The comedy, especially depending on which comics and stuff you're with.
Yeah.
There's like networking and, you know, other stuff. And it's especially depending on the type of comic you're working with.
Yeah.
It's always good to kind of like just talk with them, hear what they have to say, kind of pick their brain a little bit.
Our drummer is like that. He's really good. And, yeah. And he's our manager anyway. So he's the one that books all the shows.
Yeah.
So he's also introverted, but he'll go up and he'll talk to people and he'll, you know, talk to the other bands and, yeah. You know, it's like, oh yeah, great. And he books shows maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, oh yeah, we'll book this band. We'll book that band. And it always comes back to us.
Yeah.
I mean, I was joking about being the last band that they called for that fill-in show. We're actually the second.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of thing, you know? I guess we've been talking for an hour.
Yeah, something like that. I gotta piss. All my tea's coming out.
Yeah. Well, I took care of that before we started. Although, yeah, being this age, you kind of have to go pretty frequent.
The amount especially of tea and the water I drink, I go all the time.
Yeah, one thing I did notice when I quit caffeine, it was less of a problem.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, it's a diuretic. It feels like I always have to go.
Yeah.
Whereas when I quit caffeine for like a year or 6 months or whatever, I had to go or I didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, I drink a lot of water. Whenever I don't, like if I'm going to be on a plane flight, I end up getting a kidney stone almost every time.
Yeah.
Or if I go on a long car ride, I have to remember, go ahead and drink. Go ahead and piss in the disgusting bathroom. Just do it. Pulling into coming home, we pulled into this gas station. There was nobody there. I mean, nobody. And I decided to kind of check out the pop case first. And somebody goes into the bathroom. And they were in there for 15 minutes. Like, God, I didn't have to go that bad, but I do now. I might have to go outside and piss in the parking lot or something.
I'm gonna go.
All right, this has been
Couch. Do the dance.
Yeah, this has been Couch 101. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Bye.